Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Into this Palm Sunday, and I'm very grateful to have all of you here. And on this Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, we kick off the what we know as the Passion Week. And as we go into this special week, I want to share something with you from God's Word, but also I believe from just some of the burdens that we as a church have had to walk through over several weeks now, really months. But as we look at Palm Sunday and discover some things from that day, and even into that Passion Week, we can learn from God's Word on how to overcome seasons of suffering. How to overcome seasons of suffering. Now, just follow with me here just for a few minutes. When you look at Palm Sunday, on that first Sunday there before Easter, as we've just shown you through that video, Jesus, He rode into Jerusalem and the people were waving palm branches alongside of the road. And just picture all this. Take that. You know, I like to use a sanctified imagination and just kind of put yourself there. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem. He knows what is about to happen to Him in just the days ahead, but He rides in on a donkey there into Jerusalem, and the people, just masses of people, have gathered alongside of the road, and they have palm branches that they're waving, and they're singing, and they're shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel." And think about it. All that that joyous time there, this very festive thing going on there as Jesus rides in. But before that week was over, King Jesus was betrayed. He was denied. He was deserted. He was arrested. He was beaten. And He was slaughtered on a cross. And when I think about that and I read it in God's Word, it reminds me, Palm Sunday reminds me how quick in life that we can go from a season of singing and shouting to a season of suffering. In fact, it's amazing how life can change just in a few days. And I'm sure all of us in this room have walked through, some of you, I know you're doing that now, you're walking through or you have walked through seasons of suffering in your life, emotional suffering, physical suffering, suffering through some sort of sickness, suffering through sorrow as you're walking through dealing with the death of a loved one, suffering as you watch family around you physically just slowly fade away, or you watch family spiritually slowly fade away and drift away from God. And we've all been through those seasons of suffering where we have family problems, family troubles, relationships are out of order, suffering from financial hardships. Listen, the truth is there's all kinds of suffering, and my heart breaks for many of you in this church. I feel for you. I think about some of the seasons of suffering that some of you are right now. You're in that season, and my heart breaks for you. I feel for you. I pray for you. And there's many in this church right now that are walking through seasons of suffering. And you need prayer. You need encouragement. You know why? Because this is what I've learned. Suffering will mess with your mind. Suffering will mess with your mind. And not only will suffering mess with your mind, but suffering will mess with your faith. And we can begin to question God. We can question God. We find ourselves in a season of suffering, and it can happen quick. And next thing you know, you have your mind, and the devil's trying to play tricks on you. And then the suffering that you're going through, it shakes your faith, and you begin to question God, and you can question the presence of God. Like, God, where are you? Or you can question the promises of God. God, you said this. Or you can question the power of God. God, you were able to stop this. You were able to do something. And we begin to have these questions because of the suffering, and it can cause us to question the goodness of God. It can cause us to question the faithfulness of God. And if we're not careful, listen to me, sometimes we can get stuck in the suffering. We can get stuck in it. And I believe on this Palm Sunday that God has a word that he wants to speak into our life today on how we can overcome seasons of suffering. Now, when we think about Easter, obviously, we think about the empty grave, and we should. But hear me this morning, please, just follow along with me. When we think of Easter, we think of the empty grave. But before there was an empty grave, there was a garden of suffering. There was a garden of suffering. So you open your Bibles and you can turn to the Gospel of Mark. And I'm going to read to you from Mark 14, verse 32, all the way to verse 42, the Word of God. And this is Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's there with his disciples. And just have that sanctified imagination. Just think about what Jesus is about to do for us. And he's there in this garden, and he's with his disciples, and his time has come now. He'd been telling people, don't tell anybody what I've done. He didn't want the popularity. But now the time has come to fulfill God's will. And here he is in the garden. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, so you just bear with me, follow along. In the Gospel of Mark, it says here that they, being Jesus and his followers, they went to the olive grove, which was the garden called Gethsemane. And Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." And he took Peter and James and John with him. And this is Jesus. Now listen to this. And he became deeply troubled and distressed. And he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And he went on to love the Father, and he fell to the ground and he prayed, "If it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And then he returned and found the disciples asleep. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. And when he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open and they didn't know what to say. And when he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But know, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." Father, thank you for your word. And I pray right now, Lord, your anointing to preach it. I pray, God, for the anointing to be on the other side to receive it. And I pray, God, that you would help me to do it in a way, God, that is simple and clear. And God, help me most of all to speak it in love. And I ask for your guidance, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. The garden of Gethsemane reminds us of the sufferings of Jesus. Jesus was praying in the garden there, and he prayed, "Please take this cup of suffering away from me. And part of that cup of suffering that Christ would taste, we all know from the scriptures, was part of that cup that he would taste was being betrayed and denied and abandoned and forsaken by those that were closest to him. The suffering that Jesus was experiencing that night that had his soul so crushed. He was looking into this cup and he was suffering in that garden. And the Bible says that he was so crushed in grief that it even tells us in the Gospel of Luke that he was suffering so much in the garden, he was in so much anguish that he prayed more fervently, and while he was praying that he was sweating drops like blood that were falling to the ground. See that? He's suffering. He's in anguish. His soul is crushed. And I think that when Jesus looked into that cup of suffering, that he saw the pain that he would endure for all of us. I think that when Jesus looked into that cup, he saw the sins of the world that he would soon be and soon bear. What do you mean by soon be and soon bear? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus looked into that cup. Think about this. He looked into that cup. He's in a garden and he's suffering. He's in anguish. He's sweating like drops of blood that are falling to the ground. He's looking into that cup and he sees my sins. He sees your sins. He sees the sins of the world. And he knows that he would be that sin. He would bear that punishment for the sin. He knew that he would have to drink this cup of suffering. And there's not any words in my vocabulary or yours that could ever express the suffering that Jesus experienced for you and for me. You think about it, as I've already mentioned, just think about the rejection that Christ received, even from his own people. The betrayal by those that were close to him, the denial by those that he had poured his life into, and the ridicule and the pain of even being beat with a whip, or what we would know as a Roman scourge, which is a whip with like three tails and one handle with sharp objects on the end, and they would put somebody to the whipping post, and they would, a Roman soldier, a massive man, would take that Roman scourge and just slap across the body of Jesus, and three of those whips out of that one handle would just rip flesh off of his body. He was beaten for you and for me. And the Bible says that again and again that he was slapped and he was punched in the face. He was cursed. He was mocked. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they nailed him to a cross and they slaughtered him. That's our Jesus. He took the cup of suffering for your sake and my sake. And on this Palm Sunday, I want us just to look there at our suffering Savior, Jesus, and discover how we can overcome seasons of suffering in our life. Number one, don't be deceived by the suffering. Don't be deceived by the suffering. Jesus, listen, he was in the garden, and Jesus said, take this cup, please take this cup of suffering away from me. He identified the suffering. The suffering that Christ went through was real. Suffering is real. Suffering is real. And suffering can come at all of us at any time. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Don't be deceived into thinking that because you are a follower of Christ that you're never going to suffer. Don't believe the lie that is out there that when you make a decision to follow Christ that you are going to be pain-free, hurt-free, that you're never going to suffer. That is nowhere in the Bible. Jesus, he reminds us that suffering is real. He acknowledged the suffering that he was going through, that he was about to face. Jesus suffered, and listen to this, the Bible says that we are to share in his sufferings. We are to share in his sufferings. Jesus never promised us that we would never suffer. Jesus never promised us that we would never be sick. Jesus never promised us that we would never be attacked in our life. Jesus never promised us that we wouldn't be betrayed in our life. Jesus never promised us that we would never have a pain-free life. But what Jesus did promise us was is that you will, in John 16:33, you will have suffering in this life. You will. Don't be deceived into thinking that you're immune to it. You will suffer in this world. And we will find ourselves in seasons of suffering. This upcoming week, the Passion Week leading up to Easter. When you think about what Jesus went through, you should be reminded, and I'm reminded, that we will experience suffering in this world. Man, I know you're all thinking, please get to some good news. But I need to speak the truth of God's word to you. So many people get so sidetracked, but thinking that even the Bible mentions it, that, you know, the seed that was sown, some of it was stolen away because of the cares of the world came. Listen, there's going to be cares that come. There's going to be troubles come. There's going to be suffering to come. Don't let the devil snatch that seed from you. You're going to suffer. You're going to have seasons of suffering in your life. Listen, some of you are in that season now. I know you are. And I feel for you. I feel for you. And if you're not in that season, friend, this week should remind you that at any moment, at any day, by any little situation in your life, you could find yourself deserted. You could find yourself betrayed. You could find yourself forsaken. You can find yourself abandoned. You could find yourself having to drink some kind of cup of suffering even today. On Friday, just asking God to help me prepare my heart. What do you want to say to our family here? I felt like the Holy Spirit really just opened my eyes to some things here, especially in the garden where Jesus was at. I think the Holy Spirit reminded me that when you look at the garden where Jesus was at, do you know how many times that Jesus and his disciples, they made their way to that garden? They would go to that garden, and to Jesus and his disciples, that garden was a place of safety and security and solitude. They would often retreat there to get alone, to get refreshed, and find that moment where they could fellowship and where they could just rest their body and grow spiritually, and there could be safety and security and solitude. But now that place of safety and security and solitude, now it's a place of suffering. And the Holy Spirit just said to me that in this life, our places of safety and security and solitude can quickly turn into a place of suffering. If you don't believe me, I don't know if you've seen in the news this week, but I keep up with those missionaries and the stories of missionaries through the voice of martyrs. And just this past week, listen to this, 70 of your Christian brothers and sisters, 70 of them were marched into their church by ISIS, terrorists, and they beheaded those 70 people right there in that church. And once they beheaded them, then they took the women and the children and began to beat them. I'm not making this up. This is real. This was in the Congo. A place, they were in the church and they were beheaded in the church, a place of where they used to sing and shout and have solitude and safety and security. That place had turned into a place of suffering. Some of you, even your own house, your own home, that was a place of safety and security and solitude, now it's a place of suffering. Even at your workplace where it was safe and secure and there was solitude, now it's a place of suffering. It can change quickly. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived thinking you will never be in a place of suffering. Jesus was not deceived. He knew that he would suffer. He knew it was real. He knew that it was necessary to carry out God's will for the plan of our salvation. He was not deceived. Don't be deceived when you find yourself in a season of suffering. Number two, don't be discouraged by the suffering. Don't be discouraged by the suffering. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, talking about Jesus, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. Say joy. Joy. The Bible says that with the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:13, rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ. Joy set before him. He endured the suffering of the cross. Rejoice as you share in the sufferings of Christ. Rejoice. Don't be discouraged by the suffering. This upcoming week, I'm asking you all to do me a favor. Not only I want you to pray and fast, but I want you to join along with me and the staff, and I want you to join with me on a Passion Week Bible plan. And this is the Bible plan right here, the Passion Week Bible plan. If you could put it up, thank you so much. I want you to take a picture of that, write it down. This week, I want you to read Mark chapters 14 through 16 and John chapter 12 through 21. Mark chapter 14 through 16, John chapter 12 through 21, and there's other places you can read about the Passion Week, but I'm asking you as a church, as we go into this week of prayer and fasting, to just make that your Bible plan for this week. And I want you to read about the sufferings of Christ, and when you read it, here's what I want you to do. When you read about what Jesus went through, I want you to rejoice and be encouraged that you serve a God who knows exactly how you feel in your suffering. When you read this, I want you to rejoice and be encouraged that you serve a God who can identify with your suffering right where you are. I want you to rejoice and be encouraged that you serve a God who knows your pain. Don't be discouraged in your sufferings. You have a God who knows how you feel. He can identify with you. And I tell you that in my own seasons of suffering, because we all have them, I can rejoice and be encouraged knowing that in those seasons, it was in those seasons of suffering that I felt the nearness of God more than I ever have before. I don't wish anybody through a season of suffering, but I know for my own life that it's been in those seasons that I have experienced the nearness of God more than I ever have. It's been in those seasons of suffering where I have experienced God working in my life more than he ever has. And I'm encouraged by that. And I trust God will continue to do that. I'm encouraged in my suffering, knowing that God is near me. I'm encouraged in my suffering, knowing that God is working. And not only is he working, but he's taking what the enemy meant for evil and he's turning it into good. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God for that. You see that all through the Bible. Think about Joseph's life. Joseph's life, he was in a season of suffering. His own family betrayed him, but God worked it out for the good. You think about Job's life. He lost children. He lost his livelihood. But God took what the enemy meant for evil and he turned it into good. You think about Ruth, who lost a husband, but God worked that out and took what the enemy meant for evil and turned it into good. Paul was in a season of suffering, and in some of the darkest days of his life, standing on trial, he had people that deserted him, but Paul was able to say, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Listen, friend, be encouraged in your season of suffering that God is near you and he's working, and he will take what the enemy has meant for evil and God will use it for good. Amen. Be encouraged that God is working. Let me tell you how he's working. When you're in that season of suffering, he will use that season of suffering to work by humbling you. He will humble you. You will find out real quick that you are nothing and he is everything. He will work in humbling you. He will work in drawing you closer to him, and he will draw closer to you. God is working in the seasons of suffering to strengthen you. He's working in those seasons of suffering to grow you. How many of you have heard the phrase before, no pain, no gain? Some of you ought to look like Hercules right now. Don't be discouraged, because God will never waste a hurt. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but I've heard it several times, and that your greatest hurt can become your greatest work. Your greatest mess can become your greatest ministry. God will take those seasons you're in, your greatest hurt, and it can become your greatest work, and the greatest mess in your life can become the greatest ministry. God will use your suffering to help others and comfort others. God will use your sufferings to provide ministry to others. And listen to me, please. This is so crucial right here. When you're in that season of suffering, there has to be a shift at some point in the suffering where it's no longer self-focused on you, and it's not about you, and it's not about the pity party that you're in any longer. There has to be a shift. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can do it. Pray that the Holy Spirit will shift you from it's not about you, but it can be about the people around you. He moves us to a place where it's no longer about us and our pain, but it's about God's will being done for the sake of others. Think about Jesus. The sufferings of Christ were all about the will of God. He said, Lord, your will be done. And he did it for the sake of others, for you and for me. And friend, that's how we have to embrace our suffering. You have to shift from this suffering to a place where it's no longer about you, but it's about what God can do through you to be a blessing to other people. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God is working in you, and he will take your pain and he can turn it into his purpose. Be encouraged that God is with you in the suffering. If you're here this morning and you're in a season of suffering, I want to tell you right now, you are never, ever, never, ever alone. The Lord is with you. He is with you. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged that God is in control and we're in his hands. That's the safest place. That's the place of solitude. That's the place of security. That's the place where you feel safest when you're in God's hand. And friend, he is in control, even in the suffering. He's in control. Be encouraged that nothing takes God by surprise, not even your suffering. Be encouraged that when you're weak and you're suffering, he is strong. Be encouraged knowing that God's love never gives up on us in our suffering. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, even in your suffering, friend. Don't let the devil come in and try to deceive you. Well, I'm punishing, God's punishing you. You shouldn't have done this. You should have done that. Don't listen to the enemy. God loves you in the suffering, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. Well, if you'd have done this, if you'd have been there, if you'd have said this, if you'd have reached out then, yeah. That's the devil. The Lord loves you. And he never gives up on us in our suffering. And I want to tell you this. You be encouraged, because the God we serve is a God of new beginnings. He's the God of new beginnings. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. He's a God of new beginnings. Well, I can't see it. Well, you just trust God and hold on to him. Don't be deceived. And don't be discouraged. And finally, don't be defeated. Don't be defeated by the suffering. Easter should remind every one of us in this place today. Easter should remind every follower of Jesus Christ that is in a season of suffering right now. When you read the Bible, when you read through the Passion Week and you get to the end, and they've crucified our Lord and Savior, and they've put him in that empty tomb, but on the third day, hallelujah, he was raised back to life, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, it reminds me, your suffering is not final. We win, we win, we win. We're victorious. Hallelujah. To the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your suffering is not final. Your suffering's not final. Your suffering's not final. I'm reminded that the garden of suffering and the grave of death have been defeated, and we have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have hope. We have victory. You just hold on to the Lord. Finally, the suffering's going to end. Listen, praise God that Sunday's coming, and we are triumphant in Jesus Christ. We're not defeated. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. We have the victory, the Bible says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I have victory this morning. You have victory this morning because we are born of God and we believe Jesus is the Son of God. And because of that, I may be kicked. I might get slapped. I might get betrayed. I might get forsaken. I might get knocked down, but I'm not going to stay down. I'm not defeated. I'm not destroyed. I am victorious in Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Hallelujah. And my present sufferings, they don't even compare to the glory that's going to be revealed to us and in us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be defeated. Don't be defeated. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. And we're trusting in him, even through the seasons of suffering. My brother, if the team wants to come, Pastor Kevin, brother, if you don't mind, I'd love to go right back into that second song we did today, Pray. If you can pull that out, I know you can. I don't really know what to say closing this down, except I'm praying for you. There's a lot of people that are here today that are in seasons of suffering. And I just want to encourage you, don't be deceived by it. Don't be discouraged by it, and don't be defeated by it. Just keep holding on to Jesus. Keep praying. Keep seeking him. Keep calling on him. Keep trusting in him. He's not caught by surprise. He has not forsaken you. He is with you. Your place of safety and security and solitude may have flipped. And you are in a season of suffering. But don't you be discouraged. You got to praise your way right on through, friend. Praise your way right on through. Would you bow your head, please? Nobody looking around. Just bow your head, close your eyes. I want to just first talk to anyone that may be here and you're not in a season of suffering, but you're in a season of sin. Can I just remind you that Jesus suffered for you and for me so our sins could be forgiven? Think about what he went through. He paid the ultimate price. He shed his blood. He died for your sins, my sins. He took our place, the suffering that we deserved. Jesus, he took the cup and he drank that cup of suffering for you and me so our sins could be forgiven, never to be remembered again. Friend, you may be here and you need to be saved. You need your sins forgiven. You need to be born again, born of God. And the only way you can do that, friend, it's not by earning your way there. It's not because you showed up at church. It's about faith in Christ Jesus and him alone, not by works that no man can boast. So right there where you are, if you need the Lord to forgive you of your sins, to save your soul, so you can have the assurance that you are on your way to heaven, I want you to do me a favor and I want you to obey God. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. Just Christians, I need you praying. If you're here this morning, would you raise your hand and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need to give my life to Jesus today. I need to be saved. I need to rededicate my life. Would you hold your hand up? Would you be bold enough and hold your hand up and say, that's me? God bless you, young lady. Is there anybody else? God bless you back there in the back, sir. God sees your hand. Ma'am, God sees your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Is there anybody else? God bless you, ma'am. Right there where you are, just begin to pray. And just begin to say, Jesus, I need you to forgive me of my sins. I thank you that you died in my place on the cross. I thank you that you died in my place. You were buried, but on the third day you were resurrected and you have conquered death and you live forever. You're my living Lord. And today I put my trust in you, my faith in you, and I receive you. I repent of my sins and I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. I turn to you. Save me, Jesus. Save me. And help me to surrender all of my life to you, to follow you. I make that decision today to give my life to you afresh. Maybe for the first time, or maybe I'm just rededicating my life back to you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, that heaven is my home. And it's all because of my faith in you. And I trust you, Lord. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. You're here this morning and you are walking through a season of suffering, a season of suffering. Don't be deceived. Don't be discouraged. And don't be defeated. Listen to me. Hang on to the Lord. He is our resurrected Lord. We have victory in him. We win. We're not destroyed. We're not defeated. We can praise him through the seasons of suffering, and we can trust that he's going to be near us and he's going to work in us more than he ever has. And he's going to get the glory. And some of you that are here this morning, you need to pray, Holy Spirit, I need you to go ahead and shift me right now in my season of suffering. Shift me out of this thing where it's all about me. And shift me to a place where I'm looking at others and I can be a blessing to those around me. That you can take my hurt and you can take my pain and you can take my suffering and you can use it to be ministry to somebody else, God. Take my pain, God, and accomplish your purpose. Would you all stand with me right now, please? Would you stand with me? Because the truth is, just about everybody here has been, will be, or you are in a season of suffering right now. And so I want us to do something. I want you just to take these next few minutes, and Pastor Kevin and his team, I want you to lead us in that song, and I want you to praise your way. Come on, friend. I know sometimes it's a sacrifice of praise, but just praise your way. Praise your way. Just for the next few minutes, praise your way through this season of suffering that you're in right now, and ask God to shift some things in your life where it'll be about others and it'll be about His will.